From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh.
Here we are with myself, Trent, fresh from a seven-hour space opera which started with my committing genocide and ended with my home planet being nuked to oblivion, and somehow I ended up in a three-way tie.
Serves you right.
Only in board games.
Isn't it a beautiful thing?
And I'm joined by Garth, I'm joined by Mark, and this is The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Good evening.
Good evening, Trent. How are you going?
Yeah.
And Garth, right. You well?
Yeah, very well, thank you. That's smiting from a little loss, but we'll talk about that later.
Here we all are again for another Thursday night.
It's bound to happen when you play games against me, Garth, but never mind.
Oh, my God.
What we're going to talk about tonight, we've got so much goodness to talk about. We've got a very exciting, brand new game, hot off the Kickstarter presses to talk about. We're going to talk about our latest addiction, or at least Garth and I, BoardGameArena.com. We've got all the latest news that's half-assed and fit to be asked. And we've got our CanCon correspondent cut pieces, vox pops. We're going to hear everything that happened at CanCon. All that and more tonight.
Coming up, yes.
On The Dice Men Cometh.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM, starting with something brand new from Periphery. This is called 22 Faces, and it should be turned up very loud. Very nerdy metal from Periphery. It's called 22 Faces from the album Juggernaut, which is either, I've been listening to it all day, it's either the album, the metal album of the year already, or a complete load of tosh.
What is nerdy metal exactly?
It's mathy.
Mathy metal.
It's for serious musos.
Ah, so it's the counting the beats and it's all that sort of fancy
you
stuff,
wouldn't
it?
Understand.
I was in, like, you know, 5/7 time and stuff like that.
Now, speaking of stuff that's either brilliant or a complete disaster, I'm playing Imperial Assault tonight.
Ooh.
And from Fantasy Flight Games, and I'm not happy about it, I tell you.
Well, no? Well, it's the new hotness.
Exactly. What's up?
Well, I think anybody my age, any nerd my age, has a fairly complicated relationship with the Star Wars franchise. Yes. Isn't that fair to say?
Yes.
Complicated's a good word.
And I'm just expecting that this is going to be just Descent with a Star Wars skin over it. It's going to be big and dumb and stupid. And you know, I sent out a little email to friends saying, hey, come round and play my games tonight because I haven't played my games for ages and let's play my... You know, everybody wants to play my... And then they go, oh, I just bought Imperial Assault. Let's play that. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
The okay. Cult of the new.
Yeah, that was Dave, our producer, who...
We love you, that. Dave. Thank you so much for your production work.
I hope he's not listening. Speaking of not playing my games, we all got together a couple of days ago to...
Play your games.
Well, yes, and crack through a few new things that people brought to the table. And Garth, you had the pick of the day.
I did. And I just want to start with a famous quote. Beer. So we got Brewcrafters to the table, which is... Another one of my successful Kickstarter purchases, which I'm very, very happy about. Now,
you make that sound like you've done something noble, like a successful purchase made on the internet.
Well,
welcome to the 21st century.
I think it's fair to say we've all had our selection of tragedies via Kickstarter or what have you. So this was a good one. It was only $75 as well. I had to look back, and that included postage, which is pretty amazing. But it's a Euro about brewing beer.
Yes.
And surely that's a good thing. So what I loved about it after opening the box and seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tokens and chits and all the little bits and pieces that needed to be punched out, reading a rulebook which is only 14 pages long, and of those 14, only 4 actually deal with how to play the game. You got a page or two on setup, some complex add-ons that you can have. Is it really worked really nicely? So basically, the game only has 3 phases. You have your restock phase, like almost every other Euro does, where a whole bunch of resources become available. You then have your market phase, where you send your meeples out to buy your ingredients, the malt and the yeast and the hops, and then your advanced ingredients, fruit and spice and coffee, if you're into those fancy flavors. And then all you do is go and brew beer. You go and brew your beer, or you go and install some equipment in your brewery to make it that little bit better, or you do research. And doesn't that all sound really cool?
It does. And look, this is
Is it the second or third outing from Dice Hate Me Games?
Yes, it is.
The other one I know of theirs is Viva Java, the coffee game.
Mm-hmm.
There is coffee in this, I noticed, so they've got a bit of a theme going there.
And I must say, this game does look delicious.
Oh, yeah.
It does.
It certainly made me thirsty. The graphic design of all the fake beer labels and everything, just fantastic.
Yeah, and it plays 2 to 5 players, I think. We played with 3. They quoted on the box 90 minutes. It took us probably double that, but we did. It was a learning game for all of us. We did eat some food and do some drinking while we played it. So, look, I thought that was really reasonable, and it certainly wasn't one of those games where you think, oh, God, I've been playing for 2 hours. Like, I didn't even notice the time at all. And for me, having come from, you know, the most epic gaming session ever, which we talked about last week, that, you know, that was a real positive.
Yeah, and I remember when I was, you know, getting it out on the table, and I think, you know, after trying to explain it initially, I think your concern, Mark, was that you'd only just get the mechanics pumping before you'd actually be able to brew some decent beer, and by then it would be game over, because it's only played out over 3 years in-game. You've got your 4 seasons, and you know, you only get 12 turns to be able to get this engine running, produce as much beer as you can. Obviously, the winner is the person with the most beer brewed, which equates to reputation. But thankfully, you know, like a lot of years, I'd had a slow burn, but you figured it out pretty easily, I thought. For game one, and we've only played it once, it wasn't really that tough to pick up.
Mark, you made an interesting comment while we were playing that it was a lot like Agricola, which is a game I've actually never played.
Okay.
I must admit, because I'm not big on my Euros, as you know.
Just turn Trent's microphone off. He's just lost all his cred completely then with our listeners.
Okay, yes, gaping hole in my gaming experience, I know. But Agricola, the problem, of course, with a lot of Euros, is the theme bores me to tears in that it's farming. Who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, I have enough of whinging farmers on the news every night. Apologies to anybody who's living on the land.
Who's doing it tough.
Wow, just keep digging, Trent.
Yep.
I get what you're saying, though. And, you know, they bring out a new version and it's cave farming. Now we've got the Fields of Arles, which is another farming game.
And I mention this because my wife played with us, all right? Mm. And, I mean, she's not a big gamer at all, but the idea of sitting down to brew some beer and the colourful tokens and the good graphic design, that got
her in. Sucked her in, yeah.
She really enjoyed it.
And she beat you. But we weren't going to mention that. But
is it similar to Agricola?
Look, it had a similar feel, I guess.
Meeples, it's cubes.
At the start, because in Agricola, it's worker placement, and you just start with 2 workers. So very, very limited choices you can make there. The difference, I think, is, apart from the theme is actually interesting and fun, in Brewcraft, it's not in Agricola. In Agricola, one of the options you can do, it's similar to Stone Age. You can go off to the baby-making hut and make new workers. And so but you also add new choices to the game all the time. These cards come out that do extra things, and then there's another whole level of complexity that this doesn't have, and it doesn't cloud it, because the thing in Agricola is as you get more workers, you get more and more and more choices.
Mm.
So it's just that struggle of, oh, my God, one of the things I loved about this was, you know, you had your 2 meeples that went off to the market, and really it was a choice of, okay, I've got 3, 4, there were 3 main ingredients and a couple of bonus ones, or do I hire a worker, or do I try and get some money? That was the choices for those original 2 meeples, and you only ever get 2 during the game. And then the second part, do I expand my brewery? Do I actually brew some beer, or do I do some research? You only had a choice between 3 things. Now, yes, in the expanding the brewery, there's lots of different options, but you could sort of make a guess as to what you might need next, depending on what you were trying to do. And I love that, really, I think the 3 of us all took different paths. And now you guys had the brew pub where you were able to pump more beer out. I was the only one that had the double brewing strand. I was the only one that had a farm, so I made my own hops and apples.
Yeah, I was concentrating on trying to get stuff out, get stuff bottled quickly, which didn't work.
And I was making more, I didn't realise at the time, but I was making more premium beers. Garth was pumping out the ordinary, you know,
everyday stuff.
Yeah, which Carlton United stuff. But, you know, we all had different paths to victory. Kath was doing a lot of yeasting in the lab. She got yeast every time she went off to the lab, poor girl.
I'm not sure what it is you're trying to say about my wife, but perhaps we should move on.
But we really, like, we virtually took 4 different paths, and with the exception of one of us, three of us finished very, very, very closely. You know, 1 point between first and second, 1 point between second and third, lots more points between the person who come last. But let's not dwell on that.
No, let's not. I do have some criticisms of the game, though. It look, despite the good graphic design, it looks like a mess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes up a whole table, there's just so much stuff.
It's made up of all these tiny little boards that, frankly, could have been stuck together into one large one that would declutter everything.
Yeah, and I agree. I guess, you know, you've got to look at, you know, it's trying to fill the space between two up to five players. There's a couple of different actions that happen only when you've got three, four, and five players, so I get it. But, yeah, I can completely understand that.
And you mentioned the rule book. There seemed to be a bit of a gap in the rule book around the functions of the buildings that you installed in your or the various labs and bits and pieces you installed in your brewery.
Well, there is, but then they had the player card which showed you what the brewery buildings
did. We had questions.
Yeah, we did. Yep. You know, we only had to go to Board Game Geek once, I think. You know, which for first game and for a pretty heavy euro, I thought, you know, that's not bad.
I give it a half thumbs up, Brewcrafters.
Yeah. I gave it 1.75 thumbs up out of 2 because I really enjoyed it. Probably the most I've enjoyed a Euro in quite some time.
Mm.
I would play it again in a heartbeat. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, look, I'd play it again.
I like Agricola. I would play Agricola again in a heartbeat. But, you know, that, as I said, that definitely has that feel of you just start getting your engine into, like, second gear and the game ends. Whereas this, and I was worried that was going to happen. It didn't happen. We sort of actually, probably in almost the whole last year, you sort of had your engine running on full tilt. Mm. Yep. So, yeah, look, I really enjoyed Brewcrafters.
Excellent. No, I'd certainly recommend you try it out. I think Ben Rossett's done a really good job designing it. And, yeah, we'll get it to the table again soon.
Fantastic.
Coming up next on The Dice Man Cometh, we've got sounds, sights, and perhaps even smells from the floor of CanCon, courtesy of AOS, our Dice Man correspondent. That's next here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. The Twerps on board their raft on Edge Radio. 99.3 FM, and another episode of The Dice Man Cometh, talking tabletop games, which was all the rage last weekend for the Australia Day long weekend in Canberra, for CanCon, the 37th year of that event.
That's great, isn't it?
It's huge. And could we be there? No, we couldn't, because we're cheap and also poor.
I am definitely going next year. I've seen so much goodness on all the social media platforms. Everyone I've been speaking to had such a great time. I'm not going to miss out next year.
So instead of us being there, we got a Dice Man by proxy in AOS James, who just ran around on the floor of CanCon at Epic and did a bit of recording for us. Where did we meet AOS?
At PAX.
I mean, he was at BorderCon.
Oh, really?
The year before, yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. He was at BorderCon. I spent a bit of time with him at PAX. He explained a few games to me. He's a fantastic guy. AOS, you're a fantastic guy.
Comes down from Townsville to go to these events.
And he did have a podcast himself once in the dim, dark, distant past.
Works in the mines up there. He's got more money than sense. Really. I'll let AOS tell us all about it anyway. Have a listen to this.
I'm AOS James, and I was promised fame, fortune, glory, beers, everything from the Dice Man. If they don't follow through, I will be mega-ly pissed. All right, I am here with Terry at CanCon. Terry and Merrin run the board game library. Hello, Terry.
You been enjoying the weekend?
So far, yes. It's the third day. We're on the Monday morning, and everything's been a bit hectic. We're probably a bit tired.
Getting very tired. It's been late nights for a couple now and very early mornings as well, but really successful. It's been good. We've both Saturday and Sunday, we've probably exceeded capacity. We've certainly probably between 1 and 4 o'clock, we've had people sort of doing laps of the library looking for a spare table. As soon as someone finishes, someone will jump in. So that's been really gratifying.
And you are most of the people at this convention from Canberra?
No, I think a good selection actually. Quite a few people coming down from Sydney. There's a good contingent from Melbourne, a few from Adelaide, I think. Yeah, so yeah, we get a bit of travel, and we try to certainly encourage those guys to come up. Yeah.
So what's the capacity here, and what is the board game library? What do you do?
We provide about 200, 250 odd games, and certainly every year we make sure we've got some of the new releases from Gen Con and Essen, so that obviously attracts a demographic of people who play a lot of games. We've also got a lot of games that will support people who are coming along for the first time, and it's really nice to see, now that we've been running it for 3 years, I can look back and say, like, in the first year I saw a family come, teenage boy and mum, and play, and that particular time I sat down with them and taught them two or three games. Now this time I've seen them here again this weekend, and they come in, they're not really looking for help because they know board gaming now, and they've spent the whole weekend here playing a lot of games. So it's really good.
So you've got the gratifying thing seeing the new gamers that you brought into the hobby coming back year after year.
Yeah, it's great. And of course all the regulars, and then it's great to catch up with people. So
what dynamic are you looking for of people? What are you looking for, newer gamers, older gamers, or catering for everyone?
Both. We absolutely want to grow the hobby. A big part of this is to spread the love of board games to a lot of people who don't realise, just how far board games have come and how much fun they are. We haven't increased size this year, but certainly the plans based on the success it's having is we'll try and increase our floor space probably by half again next year.
Right.
And we'll certainly look for some, do some specific advertising in the Canberra community to get more people into the hobby.
So like advertising on podcasts and newspapers and the like?
Well, podcasts we find are a magnificent source of new people. Now, give me the $20.
Right, yeah, yep.
Yeah. And we've done things like, pamphlets into workplaces, so, leave them on, that sort of thing. And also look at a lot of the local community newspapers, distribution through the game company, so you buy a game and you chuck one of them into it. So Games Capital and Games Paradise have been great this year. They've been our major sponsors. But we've also had support from local designers. We've had Kim Brebatch, who's... Well, he's been here all weekend demoing his new game, Monstrous, which is going to be on Kickstarter, I think, in April or so. Yep. I've had Jason, I can't think of his last name. So he's been demoing his game. And, of course, we've had Peter Hawes, who a lot of people in the board gaming community know.
Right, from Francis Drake fame. And
interesting side note there, I think Games Capital took a punt and got 24 copies of Royals, and they've all gone.
Yeah, I think it was a bit more than that, but it's sold out.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a popular game.
Yeah, so that was awesome.
So you're open to receiving free board games for all the retailers in Australia and overseas that are listening right now, is that correct?
Absolutely.
I'm in the gaming library with a couple of random game players. Here I have Annika. Why do you come to CanCon?
This is my very first CanCon. I came to try and find some other gamers to play games with and find some rad games to take up my time.
All right, and where are you from?
I'm ACT, born and bred.
Who, where, and why?
Oh, hi, I'm Adam from Canberra. I'm a university student, and I'm just here with my friends playing board games. It's great fun.
I am Jack. I'm here to play board games, and I'm from Melbourne.
I'm here with Miles from the Games Paradise. Miles, how has the weekend been, and what are you guys doing here?
Look, it's been an incredible weekend, just winding up now. What are we doing here? We come here to engage with our customers, show off the new game, see what the demand's like. So
sales have been good this year?
Yeah. Saturday for us is a very busy day, and then Sunday and Monday it dies off. But I think we're looking at about maybe 10 or 20% more than we did last year. So it seems to be continually growing.
Increasing. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, Miles.
No worries.
Who, why, where?
Sui to play board games and from Canberra.
I'm here to play games and kill my friends in a fun way that doesn't cause the police to come and knock on my door. And I'm from Melbourne.
Woo! Super Volunteer Con! What are you doing here and why?
I help out with Terry and Marin in the game library, basically, for the whole weekend.
And where are you from?
I'm a local, and I also help run the math trade that was run for pretty much most of the eastern side of Australia to help out just delivering and, centralising sort of distribution for all the local gamers and from Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane.
And without Con, I don't know if the mass trade would work. Thank you very much.
No problems.
I'm Kim Brebach, a designer from Sydney, and I'm demoing a game here called Monstrous, which comes out on Kickstarter in April. You can find it on monstrousgame.com.
Hello, Julian from Unhalfbricking Games. Why do you come to CanCon?
CanCon is an unusual convention in Australia because the retail side and the games playing side are inextricably linked. If you lose one, you'll lose both. And that's not true at any of the other conventions or exhibitions in Australia.
All right, how many times have you been to CanCon so far?
This will be my seventh, I think. I started when Australian Games Expo was in CanCon, and then it moved to Sydney.
I found some more victims. Hello.
Hi, I'm Daniel. I guess I'm here just to check out some awesome games. We're playing Concordia right now. Don't know what it's going to be like. And I'm from Canberra.
Who, why, and where?
Fraser, I'm here to be beaten by Aos in Dimarca in his first game. From Melbourne.
Who, why, where?
Jessica, why? I like board games. Where? CanCon. Yay.
Who, where are you from?
I'm from Townsville.
Woo, Townsville.
Hey, my name's Tarquin from Bathurst, New South Wales. So, yes, the home of Mount Panorama. And essentially, I'm here because this is my geek weekend away.
My name's Jason Kotsa-Yang from Endgame Games. I've been dubbing Ragnarol at CanCon. You can find Ragnarol on Kickstarter in a couple of months, hopefully.
And where are you from?
Brisbane.
I'm here with the event organiser, Tim Slay. Tim, what is CanCon all about?
CanCon is a miniature board game, card game, and war game and trading games convention.
Right.
Basically, if you can play it for fun, we've probably got it here.
And it's been running for a while?
This is year 37, and it's the 17th year that I've won it.
So what's your goal about why do you run CanCon?
The goal of the Canberra Game Society is to promote gaming in the ACT and surrounds. We consider the rest of Australia the surrounds. So we basically run these tournaments for people to have fun.
All right, and where can people find out more information?
Okay, our website, which is cgs.asn.au, has our information on there. Obviously, CanCon's almost over for a year, but there will be information for our mid-year event, WinterCon, coming up shortly.
Excellent.
And then shortly after that, there will also be information for next year's CanCon.
So everybody get on board, come down to CanCon and have fun. Thank you very much, Tim.
Yep, cool.
So in conclusion, it's been a tiring weekend, and I'm absolutely exhausted, so the Dice Men better deliver. Otherwise, I'm going to send all the photos of Trent, Mark, and Garth in very conspicuous positions to everyone across Australia. For more details of that, check out the Dice Men Cometh. I'll post a link if you want those photos, if I am not paid. And in conclusion, I have Bonnie. What do you think about the weekend?
It's been fantastic. Can't wait to come next year.
And where'd you come from?
Melbourne. Yeah, Melbourne, Victoria.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aos. Wasn't he great?
He was great.
That was awesome.
And I don't know where he got those photos from. I thought he burned them all.
I told you, what goes on at BorderCon stays at BorderCon, Aos. Yeah. You know that.
Yes.
You know that. But seriously, mate, thank you very, very much for doing that. Sounds like people were having a great time at CanCon.
Mm.
It is on our to-do list, believe us.
Yeah. Exactly. And from the photos, it looked like it was heaving. Looks like there was hundreds of people there.
Yep, exactly. All right, next, it's been a few weeks since we looked at anything that's happening in terms of news and releases and industry stuff, so I've got a bit of a roundup of crap you've probably already read on the internet. Some of it's interesting. Look, maybe you just go and get yourself some dinner or a sandwich at this point, I don't know. It's the Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Wake up! There was lower plenty with On the Beach on the Dice Man Cometh, Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. Trent, Mark and Garth tonight doing half-ass board gaming news, and there's lots of it. So without any further ado, gentlemen, may I?
Go for it.
Okay.
Get cracking.
All right, so in no particular order. Z-Man Games have announced a release date for Pandemic Legacy, October 8th. So that coincides with Essen 2015, no surprise there. It is, of course, a co-op game. The campaign runs 12 to 24 games, supposedly, and they've confused everyone because the artwork that accompanies the announcement says Pandemic Legacy Season 1 on it. And no one knows quite what this means. Does it mean that there's going to be expansions for season 2 and 3? They're not. Is it just part of the game? They're not. They're not saying. So that's the mystery around there. But Pandemic Legacy, I think I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they take that legacy mechanic and apply it to that theme.
Explain the legacy mechanic for anyone who doesn't know.
Oh, the legacy mechanic. So, what happened is there were these people who died in war, and they had orphans and wives, and a group called Legacy formed, and they stand on the street corner and that legacy.
And they are a very noble and worthwhile organisation.
They are,
and
absolutely.
That is not what I'm talking about at all, you bastard.
The legacy mechanic.
All right, moving on. Machikoro, the Catan killer that we love very much. There's a second expansion
really
coming from IDW Games. It's called Millionaire's Row. and it's going to be released in June. 13 new cards for it.
Well, I'm still waiting on the Harbour expansion, so I'll probably get that next year, and then the year after this one.
Is that even in the country yet?
I think it's shipping in February.
I've seen a German version of it in stores, but... Dust Tactics. You know the Dust miniatures game with the fancy, schmancy, expensive miniatures? Yeah. Well, that miniatures game is expanding into Dust Adventures, which is an RPG.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is coming in March from Modiphius. Some poor sods had to flesh out backstory for all of those miniatures. Can you imagine how thankless that job is? It apparently takes the existing six-sided Dust Tactics dice and redeploys them in this RPG.
Mm.
Hey, you know, if you're not doing anything with your life. And speaking of Modiphius Games, they're also launching a Kickstarter next month, February, for, and speaking of co-op games from Matt Leacock, Thunderbirds.
Argo.
That's right. That's right. And this is, I think it's the 50th anniversary of the original TV series in 2015.
Wow.
And there's a new series coming, a new version of it. And so it's the game of international rescue with all five of the Thunderbirds, and hopefully there's Thunderbird 1 coming up through the pool and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, my lady.
It's going to be in a retail release in September after this Kickstarter next month. French publishing giant Asmodee. Mark, you're going to be very excited about this, seeing as you love the Nations board game so much. they're releasing the Nations Dice Game.
So it'll only go for 4 hours.
In March. Yeah, so...
Yeah, I did see this on Board Game Geek.
Continuing the trend of taking existing properties and redeploying them with dice and cards and, also, Asmodee releasing Matt Dunstan's Elysium, which I think maybe even is actually out round about now-ish.
I think it's out again in February. There's been a whole bunch of art released on BGG, and it's starting to look really, really good, really interesting too, really good mechanics.
Matt Dunstan, Australian designer who we love. This is demigods trying to earn a place in Mount Olympus. Is the theme. When I interviewed Bruno Cathala last week, more about that soon, he mentioned this game, that he was involved in the playtesting, loves it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Dominion, the deck builder that we thought was dead, is not quite so dead. The new box set from Rio Grande, it's a large expansion, is called...
Zombie Dominion, Back from the Dead.
Cthulhu Dominion.
Dominion Adventures.
With Star Wars?
30 Kingdom cards. Don't even mention Star Wars.
Dominion Strikes Back.
There's
Actually, the Dominion was in Star Trek.
There's playmats as part of this Dominion expansion, Mark.
Ooh.
No release date as yet, though. Dice Masters.
Yeah, Dice Masters. So,
have you played it at all recently,
no,
Mark?
No, I haven't. Garth? I haven't.
I looked at it yesterday, actually. Put it back.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a great game, but I don't know. I just can't bring myself to bring it to the table.
Just rolling out theme after theme.
Yeah, and the DC Dice Masters stuff is continuing. Justice League comes out in March, and there's a second DC series coming called War of Light in August.
Well, apparently. I just spotted, having a quick look at our Twitter feed, I just spotted a few hours ago the official announcement of D&D Dice Masters.
Really?
So it's a D&D theme. They're in the Faerun universe, which is where Drizzt is set, and all the Ed Greenwood novels and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate, all that stuff. That's all in the Faerun world. It's in that universe. So, I mean, do we really need another version of Dice Masters?
It just
at least someone does.
Mm. Makes sense for Wizards of the Coast to be just pumping out all the D&D stuff they can. And in fact, the D&D Adventure Board Game Series, speaking of Legends of Drizzden, there was the Ravenloft one and the
Shards.
So it's been a couple of years since a release.
Wrath of Ashardalon.
That's it. But there's a new
one. There's a fourth one, isn't there?
Temple of Elemental Evil.
Oh, yes, that classic old... I remember playing the video game in the 80s, which was obviously based on one of the more original D&D modules, right. Elemental Evil,
Out on April 30. Mm. Some controversy, well, amongst us anyway, and some mild interest in the fact that Roll for the Galaxy has been released by Rio Grande and apparently doesn't suck. And
really?
I just wanted to mention that, because you mentioned to me that you'd seen a couple of good reviews of it, and I indeed have read through a couple.
Yeah.
it looks like it's actually people are enjoying it.
Yeah. No, I again, completely concur. I want to get it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I haven't got Race for the Galaxy. I certainly play your copy enough. But it's different enough that you could have both,
I think.
It's
the same art and icons, just all redeployed.
Well, it's good because I don't want to have to learn it all again.
I was going to say, it would be good for the rule set then. Mm. You don't have to learn a whole bunch of new iconography.
But it's got a few different bits and pieces to it, so I think it'll be good. Yeah. So,
okay, better you than me. the first expansion for the Kennerspiel winner, Istanbul.
Not
is...
Constantinople?
Sorry.
Oh, dear. it's called Mocha and Bakshish, which is a, I believe it's some kind of Middle Eastern word meaning bribery or payment. That's due out in May. We haven't played Istanbul yet.
No.
A glaring hole there on our playlist. The Kickstarter from Tasty Minstrel that was out last year for Scoville.
Yep.
The game of chili farming.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes.
Okay. Look, just an interesting little note. Scoville's arriving in retail stores in Australia this month before some of the Australian Kickstarter backers appear to have actually gotten a copy.
Wow.
That's interesting. Nasty.
And talk about Kickstarter. Can't go without mentioning Exploding Kittens. Now, the the most backed Kickstarter project ever with... over 100,000 backers.
Yeah, $4.4 million in backing.
So the most number of backers.
Not the most money, but the most number of backers ever in a Kickstarter project. I have backed it.
You're one of the suckers.
They've expanded now. Originally, it was like the base game and then a Not Safe Work expansion. They're now expanding the Not Safe Work expansion to be basically a full game, so with double the amount of cards. This just thing is just a behemoth. I mean, it's only a behemoth. It's only been going...
A behemoth.
It's only been going...
It's a very large beehive.
It's only been going, just over a week?
Yeah, if that.
I mean, when is this thing going to stop?
Yeah, and I mean, all good work, good luck to it, but it's just a boring concept. It doesn't look that interesting to me.
Look, you know, what are they talk about it being a Russian roulette mechanic, so, you know, push your luck, obviously. Keep drawing cards and just hope you don't pull out the kitten that explodes. But also cards that can negate the exploding kitten. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be in the same world as Flux, you know, as in a throwdown. Here's a 5 or 10 minute game. So a great filler.
But is it about the game?
I love the art of the oatmeal as well.
I'm just not convinced that the backing is about the game itself.
Oh, clearly not. I mean, the oatmeal has been involved in a couple of really high-profile projects. I think we might have mentioned last week, funding for the Tesla Museum, the great law case he had about where he raised over $1 million for saving bears because some lawyer was trying to sue him for using an image. So, you know, I mean, that guy alone has heaps of star power. With the internet people, which we know isn't real star power, but does equate to dollars.
Mm.
So where does it go? I mean, is it going to be 10, 15 million?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to be stopping because it was, $1 million after 24 hours?
And... No, $1 million in like 20 minutes, wasn't
just
it?
Ridiculous.
The other Kickstarter that's newsworthy at the moment is the one from Stronghold Games for Space Cadets Away Missions.
Oh, yes. Miniatures?
Which it's essentially, again, another Descent clone, but with the Space Cadets... theme applied to it. This one does look to be a little more serious and crunchy than it doesn't have the same lighthearted cover art and that kind of thing.
Well, you've got to remember, the designers of Space Cadets, or I guess the main designer, one of the main designers, Jeff Engelstein, who was, the sort of the maths guru, game tech man on the Dice Tower for a long time. Him and his son also did Ares War?
Project Ares.
Project Ares, which was a take on that turn-based strategy computer game, like your StarCraft.
Yep.
So, I mean, he does have some chops there with serious games.
Absolutely. Yeah. And look, just quick bits of news on two classics to wrap up. Mayfair Games. This weekend, there's a big toy industry event happening in Nuremberg in Germany, and it's not so much a sort of customer-focused thing, it's industry-focused, and they're going to be unveiling this weekend the new look for the Settlers of Catan, which is going to be rebranded just Catan, universally, right around the world, and brand-new cover art apparently coming for that, and about time, too, because that cover art has been god-awful.
Yeah, pretty tired.
And, you know, it's still a game that people are discovering, and it's still a great way into the hobby.
Well, I think I might have shared with you guys the other day that I was in our friendly local game store, Area 52, and of course people were standing there deciding which Catan expansion they were going to pick up to expand their game, and I overheard someone say, "Oh, I think this one means more cooperative play," and I sort of wanted to rush up and say, "No, if you play it cooperative, you're doing it wrong.
You're supposed to do that. That's your job."
But I couldn't bring myself to do it. They looked so happy when they had the little expansion in their hand, or the big expansion in their hands.
Last bit of destroy news. That? El Grande. Peter Hawes has called this the ultimate area control game. The 20th anniversary big box collection is going to be released soonish. It's going to contain all the expansions and maybe some brand new content as well. So if it's a game you've heard about, never played, never tried, 2015 will be your chance. Start saving now because it's going to be a behemoth.
They're going to milk that lizard a bit because they did release a 10th anniversary edition of that.
Hey, if you're making the money,
yeah.
You're listening to the Dice Men Behemoth. On Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Damn you!
Trent, Mark and Garth. Hey, we mentioned Brewcrafters a few minutes ago, and you wanted to play this song in tribute to them.
Yeah, that's right.
What is it?
Beer.
By?
Weird Al Yankovic.
Sounds like this. Weird Al Yankovic. Oh, it's getting nerdy in here tonight. And why not? It's the Dice Men Cometh, Edge Radio 99.3 FM. You guys are looking a little bit bleary. I got to tell you, and I think it's the result of too much of this newfangled internetness that I hear so much about.
Yes.
What is it that you crazy kids have been up to?
Well, look, we've been checking out a site called Board Game Arena. Now, you have heard me, and the listeners would have heard me talk about yukata.de, which is a website where you can play board games and you can play on a turn-based basis with real people. Now, this is a German site. BoardGameArena.com is, I believe, a French site. And I stumbled across it because after that fantastically wonderful game of Nations that I played that went on for quite a little while, I had been talking to a good friend of the show, Carl, about Through the Ages and how that was a much better game. But it's really, really hard to learn because you've got to play it's the Vlaarachvartel, you've got to play like three games before you get to the real game. And I knew there was a computer implementation of that on a website, which was just a standalone website. So while I was trying to find that website, I stumbled across this BoardGameArena.com because it does have Through the Ages. And I went in and started to check it out, and lo and behold, it has a truckload of Euro games that you can play against real people. Now, I think you might even be able to play against the AI, but I haven't even tried it because I'm playing with real people. And I had a count today. There's 88 different games you can play there.
Wow.
Including...
And this is free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like who has set this website up?
A few people who have programming skills. They do get permission from the publishers of the games to be able to use the real art and everything.
Wow.
And
yeah,
clearly...
They've got express copyright permission from everyone who owns the games that are on there.
Excellent.
So they... Obviously, the copyright holders can say, we don't want it on there anymore.
And they do. And I know that's happened with Yukata, where they've had to pull games that people have sort of volunteers have made.
Yeah, but clearly the website owners themselves go to the manufacturers or the publishers and designers and say, hey, do you want to try before you buy scenario? You want people to be able to play your game without having to fork out 40, 50, 60, 100 bucks? Here's an easy way to do it. And there's currently over 250,000 members in this site. So it's a pretty large community and it's growing.
And we know from history that people go and buy Ticket to Ride, the iOS version, to play on their phone. And then they learn about it and then they go and buy the board game. So
we know this from history. That's right. Learned that in the Renaissance.
That's right. So look, Board Game Arena, they've got games like K2, which we've just... discovered ourselves and we'll be talking about soon. Puerto Rico, Through the Ages, Race for the Galaxy, Tokaido, Stone Age, Troyes, Hanabi,
Trois, thank you,
Libertalia. They've got 88 games. Now, clearly, some of them are not real games, like backgammon. No, actually, I love backgammon. Yahtzee, I'm playing a game of Yahtzee with Carl at the moment.
You're doing what?
Yeah. I've got a lot of games happening. But, yeah, so there's 88 different games you can play, as we said, including quite a few hefty, meaty Euro behemoths.
Yeah, and look, the thing I like about it is it just makes it so accessible. You know, time is poor in a lot of cases, so the fact that you can go through there and within half an hour play a real-time game of, you know, Race for the Galaxy or K2 or, you know, one of the shorter games, that's great. But you can also do the turn-based stuff and take weeks and weeks and weeks over the course of a game.
So you don't have to play live?
No, not at all. And that's really, really good, you know, because I might jump on it, you know, 10:30 at night before I go to bed, make a move, and then I don't have to have another move.
But does that mean that I'm going to be waiting for some guy in China to, you know, for the time difference to kick in and for him to have his other go or something?
Well,
or?
You know that the maximum time limit that they've got. And they've actually made a bit of a change in that in the last couple of days, which is that if a player doesn't make their move within a certain number of minutes or days, depending on the format you're playing, their turn will be skipped, and if it happens again, they get booted out of the game. Because it is, not surprisingly, a pretty big issue when you're talking about online gaming against real people is, you know, someone might start a game and then, I've got to go on holidays or I've got to go on a work trip and forget about it. So they've taken steps to alleviate that aggravation, which is a sensible choice.
And you can, the great thing I love is you can play against your friends. You can, like, reserve spaces on the table for people that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, hey, I want to play a game of this. I'm in it, and throw it open to anyone and it won't start till people join. So you can meet new people, you can play with friends, you can set the time limit so you can say one turn per day or make it quicker. And as Gar said, you can play in real time. We just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I haven't done that yet. I know you have, Garth. And was the experience of playing it real time, any, apart from that it was quicker, any different to the turn based?
Look, the interface was all identical. The way you play the game was all identical. I guess there was a little bit more banter back and forth on the chat, which was great. But no, there was no real difference apart from the fact that you got the game over nice and quickly.
So someone who might be stumbling across this show as they're trying to, you know, find CFM or something, and is thinking, what the hell are these board games that these kids are on about?
Mm-hmm.
These young people who are talking on the radio. And I can go to this website and try some of these for free.
Yeah. Yep.
What titles would you recommend for noobs?
For noobs, I mean, and this is I guess, unfortunately, it's probably one of the criticisms of the site is that you, to play well, you obviously have to have a little bit of experience in the game, ideally.
Okay.
However,
otherwise you're going to get trolled.
However, the community, you know, they make a big point of being nice and not being aggressive and doing, you know, anything negative. And on the link for every page, for every game, they have, you know, probably a Dice Tower review and a link to the Board Game Geek site. So you can certainly do your bit of research, which is great. But in terms of the introductory games, I think one of the really standouts is K2, which has only been released for 24 hours now. The mechanic itself, which we've all found out really recently, is really quite simple.
Yes.
Because you can only do two things. You can move or you can acclimatise yourself.
This is the game of mountain climbing.
Exactly, yeah. Right. That's a really good version. You've got, you know, Tokaido, the you know, little relaxing.
Yeah, that's one of the ones I was going to mention.
Mm.
As well as something like Stone Age, which is a really good introduction to your worker placement Euro.
Exactly right. And then one that I haven't actually tried yet, but I want to, is Hive, which is the little tile placement game with where all the different bugs have a different bit of skill. I think it'll be good.
Chess with bugs.
Really? Don't rate it?
I just does nothing for me.
Been out for many years.
Yeah, yeah. I look at, you know, it is a long-standing popular game with people who are boring.
But it also has Solken, the Mayan calendar game on there, which you've got. And look, I don't really like that game, but it has got quite a few Euros there, which is really interesting. And as Mark said, you've got Yahtzee and chess and hearts and all the more mainstream you know, games if you're interested.
Solken is a game that I own that I'd never get to play because no one ever lets me play the games that I have, as we've established. And I don't really want to play that game online, seeing as I invested in the physical copy of it, and it makes me feel stupid.
Except
if you taught people to play it online, then when they're over at your house, you go, hey, let's play Zulkin, because you all know how to play, so we don't have to have a long-winded learning game. Mm.
Yes, such as the game of Imperial Assault that we're about to we're about to have.
I think we're going to see some interesting editing of the podcast this week. Dave might just cut you out altogether.
Now, next week on the show, we're going to finally bring you that interview with Bruno Cathala.
Oh, yeah.
That Garth, you arranged for us, and I did.
Yes, you did. But just before we move on, Mark and I have actually thought we'd try and try something new. So we've actually created a couple of extra accounts for Board Game Arena. And if anyone who is listening would like to jump on and have a game with a dice man, and experience the wonder of that, all you need to do is search for us on the Board Game Arena site. I am Dice Man Garth.
And surprisingly, I am Dice Man Mark.
And Trent, we might get you on it. Who knows?
Did you make a Dice Man Trent account?
No.
But we can. And there's a lot of talk there about they are trying to get Seven Wonders. Mm. They don't have it yet.
You're just toying with
it. And Agricola. And Agricola. But one of the things they do actually claim on the website is that they are currently releasing one new game every month.
Okay.
They just released K2. The month before that was Tashkalar by Vlada. That was a bit hit and miss, wasn't it, Mark? Yes. But anyway.
It's almost enough to get me to play something online. Almost.
Hey, quickly, we had six new likes, so thank you to Joanna, I think you know her, Garth. Emily, I think you know him. William, I think you know him. Megan, I think you know her. Leah and Stefan, do you know him?
Yeah, I may know all of those
people. A few of those people. Welcome to them all, to the Dice Man family.
Catch you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.